You know, we have an interesting dilemma before us. We are citizens of another kingdom, and yet we're trapped in a human body that is fraught with difficulties at times. It can be tough just to live through this life. And yet God's left us here for a specific purpose, and that is to be a testimony to those in the world. Yet we find many times the people who we are supposed to be a witness to are not interested in what we have to say. And there's a variety of reasons for that, but one of the reasons that I've heard fairly regularly is this: you don't look like you're any different than you used to be. Why should I want what you got by the face that you've got? I mean, it's something along those lines, and it's true. You ever notice people who claim to be saved and what they look like? I'm not talking about the distinctions of their eyes and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about the pleasantness or the unpleasantness of their face. I want to start a message this evening. Notice the key word there, start. I already know up front I'm not finishing it, all right? I've entitled the message, An Undeniable Testimony. Joy. Joy. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. There's no conditions there. There's no, if things are going well, rejoice in the Lord. If all your needs are met and the pantry's full and the car's running right and the bank account's fat, rejoice in the Lord. It's not what it says. It says rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. The Word of God has an awful lot to say about joy. Matter of fact, a lot of people have said a lot about joy. It's interesting. It's the name of a dish soap, right? It's the name of a destroyer in the U.S. Navy. That's kind of, you know, I don't know how all that works. It's a computer game and equipment. It's mountain ranges, ports and cities, music bands and songs, names of people, books, businesses, and churches. Mother Teresa says, joy is prayer, joy is strength, joy is love, joy is a net of love by which you can catch souls. And we don't agree with her theology, but that's pretty interesting, isn't it? Mark Twain says, grief can take care of itself, but to get the full value of a joy, you must have somebody to divide it with. The question is, and not very much joy going on out there, right? Perfect cue. Does God want us to be happy or joyful? By the way, we're going to distinguish those in just a moment, okay? You might be surprised what the Scripture says about those two words. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 11 says, Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy. Sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I realize that we have something to look forward to in the future. But that's not the only reason that God wants us to be joyful. That's a pretty good reason. But God wants us to demonstrate joy down here on this earth now. Can someone laugh and not truly be happy or joyful? Well, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 13, Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. So yes, someone can laugh but not have true joy and it not really mean that which God is intending for us. Can I be joyful and it not show on my face? It's an interesting one. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 7. The show of thy countenance doth witness against thee. In other words, this does communicate a message. Now for some of you, you may say, God could have picked a different bulletin board. Well, that may be true, but that is the bulletin board he chose to use. And I understand that we have a variety of personalities here in the room. I'm not trying to fit you into a mold. But can I tell you that for many of us, the testimony that we have demonstrated to the world is not one of joy. And it acts like nothing's changed in our lives. God wants us to be a changed people. And that will give us opportunity to be able to minister to other people. Let's get some definitions as we just kind of look at this tonight. In the Hebrew language, there's a number of words that's used for this, and it can mean joy or mirth or gladness, gaiety or pleasure, a glad result or a happy issue. Not like issue like someone gave it to you, but a happy issue. Now, the other word is joyful, merry, or glad. It means joyful. You who rejoice or showing joy. Another word can mean gladness or joy or exaltation or rejoicing. It means to be glad, to rejoice, or even to tremble or from fear. It's the idea of joy behind that word. In the Greek language, the word simply means joy or gladness. The dictionary definition is joy is an emotion of great happiness, the feeling of happiness or extreme cheerfulness. I've had some people say to me that you can be joyful and not happy. When you look at the Word of God, you actually find that the word happy is more associated to what they're saying is joy, and the word joy is more associated with the word that they commonly call happy. God clearly wants us to demonstrate joy in our life. Now, that's not always easy. There are circumstances that God asks us that are not fun. Not things we would choose to go through. But he doesn't tell us that those things we can choose not to be joyful in. Rather, he says, we're to rejoice in everything. We can have a joyful spirit that will be communicated in our countenance because God commands us to. I want us to ask a series of questions. We've already done some as kind of an introduction, but I want to ask a series of questions over the next, Lord willing, two messages, and then answer them from Scripture. And the first question is this: is it necessary to have joy? Is it necessary to have joy? Well, first off, it is commanded. In this passage of Scripture, these are commands. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So if you're not rejoicing, you're disobeying God. That's simply put. That means we rejoice in those difficult times, and if we're not, we're disobeying God. I think it really boils down to this. Do I genuinely believe that God knows what He's doing? That's really what it boils down to. Do I genuinely believe that God knows what He is doing? So when God allows an event to take place, a car wreck, a cancer, a sickness, a broken leg. You can go on and on. Does he know what he's doing or does he not? Now, I didn't ask you what answer you know is right. I'm asking you what answer you're living. There are things that not a person in this room would choose tonight. I'm quite sure of that. I'm sure that most of us would not choose to be diseased in some way or another. And that's when we have to say, okay, Lord, I don't understand what you're doing here. But I can choose to rejoice in it anyway and demonstrate to the world that I genuinely trust you. It really doesn't impress the world for us to be joyful in happy circumstances. Matter of fact, Jesus tells us, but it doesn't do us any good to do good to people who can do good back to us. That's not really demonstrating anything. It's when we do good to those who cannot reciprocate. That's when it really demonstrates to us. So when we provide snacks to people who at this point are not going to be able to reciprocate that back to us, that's when we're really demonstrating love. So it doesn't really demonstrate joy for us to do that when things are going well. Cupboard's full, vehicle's working fine, no physical problems, everything's hunky-dory, as my daddy used to say. Everything's going great. Well, people would look at you and go, of course. That's why you have a joyful look, because you got everything going for you right now. Matter of fact, many times it is in the darkest hours of difficulty that the world says, wait a minute. There's something different there. How can you do that? What's happening there? Matter of fact, Joe and Mary aren't here tonight. Joe talked to me about that this morning. But you know, one of the things that really attracted Joe and Mary, not only to Christ, but to Emmanuel, was watching our church family during Brother Coffey's death. That totally blew them away. They couldn't get their hands on that. Only God can do that. So that we would not choose to go through those difficult times. It is through those difficult times that we genuinely demonstrate to the world we have something different. And we can be joyful in it. So it's commanded. But not only is it commanded, but it should continue, the Bible says. In Psalms 5 and verse 11, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. You know, when you really think about it, when it comes right down to it, there is enough to be joyful about only because the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for us and has taken us to heaven. And anything more than that is just icing on the cake. Matter of fact, we deserve hell, don't we? That's what God's Word tells us. And so if we get, again, a sickness, a difficulty, or whatever, what makes us think that we deserve something better than that? We already get heaven. And that's why the psalmist says we can rejoice in the fact that we know God and what He's going to do. We can ever joy in that. By the way, I think that's one of the primary things we're going to be doing in heaven, rejoicing with Him. The next obvious question asked then is, when should there be joy? Well, we've already seen overall that rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But let's look at some specific times that God asks us to be joyful. Number one, in celebrations. Now, that one's pretty easy, isn't it? First Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 40. Moreover, they that were nigh them, even unto Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, brought bread on asses and on camels and on mules and on oxen and meat and meal, cakes of figs and bunches of raisins and wine and oil and oxen and sheep abundantly. For there was joy in Israel. They were, if you will, in our modern vernacular, they were throwing a party. Ezra 6, verse 22, and kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. For the Lord made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them. Esther chapter 9 and verse 22, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the mouth which was turned from them, turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor, celebration. Isaiah 56 and verse 7, even them will I bring into my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted unto mine altar. Zechariah 8 and verse 19, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month and the fast of the fifth and the fast of the seventh and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feast. Therefore, love the truth and peace. At feast, people were many times anointed with what the Bible calls the oil of gladness. Paul is alluding to that when he mentions in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. In John chapter 3 and verse 29, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. So God says that we can have joy in celebrations. That one's pretty easy to do in those celebrations. But number two, not only in celebrations, but in conquest. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 27, then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. Esther chapter 8, again referring to that passage of Scripture, the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor in every province and every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came. The Jews had joy and gladness as they were able to defeat their enemies. Psalms 27 and verse 6, and now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. It's interesting in Scripture to see the connection many times between joy and singing in the Word of God. Luke chapter 10 and verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Those spiritual victories that were taking place there. So, in celebrations, in conquest, number three, in completion. Particularly in this, in several cases here, it's referring to the completion of the temple. In Ezra chapter 3 and verse 12 and 13, but many of the priests and Levites and chiefs of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Can I just sidestep here for just a moment? In what's happening in the book of Ezra, is the people are laying the temple. The temple was destroyed because of sin. They rejected God repeatedly. God came in, destroyed the temple. Now they're rebuilding that temple. And the older people that was alive when the first temple was there wept because it didn't measure up to the first temple. We ain't never done it that way before. That's basically what they were saying, okay? All right? And they were weeping where the younger people didn't have a temple. They didn't know what the first one was like, and they were just rejoicing in the fact that God had brought them back to the land, and now they get a temple. it's interesting in this passage as we look at perspective from these people. Be careful that your wailing doesn't outlast the joyful cry from others in a situation that God may bring you to. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 15. It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Matthew 25, 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He repeats that in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 23. The joy of the Lord. So in completion, your work is done. The building was done. There's an opportunity for us to be joyful. But not only in those three things, but number four, in Christ. In Psalm 16 and verse 11 it says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalms 43 and verse 4, then will I go into the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. You know, if we just looked at the passage in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, and in Psalm 16 verse 11, we have reason to joy. We get to be with God, not only here on this earth, but forever in eternity. What reason for us to rejoice in Christ? This is an interesting one. In the castle. In the castle, you're like, well, what does in the castle mean? Well, in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto your Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That word means a place or means of safety, your protection, your refuge, your stronghold, a place of safety. In other words, God says that you can run to God. In fact, multiple times in the book of Psalms, it talks about God is our refuge, our stronghold that we can run to. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is that stronghold for you. And in this particular occasion, it was a happy occasion. But we can look in the book of Psalms and find many times when it wasn't necessarily happy, but they still ran to the Lord. And in that, we can be joyful. In other words, even in the difficult days, when things are not going the way we thought they should go, we can be joyful in the fact that we have a stronghold to run to in God. What a blessing that is. We can also be joyful in compliance. In compliance. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 13, they on the rock, the seed that was on the rock, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no fruit, which for a while believe, and in time temptation fall away. But in the next passage of Scripture talks about they receiving the word with joy as well. In John chapter 15 and verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. In what was the Lord Jesus Christ talking about there? In the Word of God, the things that He had communicated to them. Jesus said, I've given you these things so that my joy is going to be in you and that your joy can be full. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Wait a minute. What do you mean with much affliction and joy? How do those two things go together? Well, God said it does. We talked about when we preached through the book of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians how that young church was under persecution from the very beginning. I mean, they were under the gun immediately. And yet they were receiving the word of God with joy. How can you have affliction that's overriding everything that you do and yet do all of it with joy? Wow. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. May the report that they give be a joyful report. You know, that verse particularly is talking about pastors. One day, I don't know how it's going to go, but one day I'm going to give an account for you. And the Bible says that I may do it with joy. Oh, that person. Oh, Lord. Let me tell you about them. He's not going to need to know because he already knows. But I'm just, somehow this reporting is going to be there. Well, what about this person? Well, don't really want to talk about that person. That's what that's not profitable for you for that to take place. So in compliance, there is joy. And then the one we really don't want to hear, in calamity, in difficulty. In Acts chapter 13 in verse 50 through 52. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So they're under intense persecution. They get kicked out of a city, and they do so with joy. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. But none of these things move me, Paul says. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. From a human standpoint, Paul, are you out of your mind? Paul, have you not looked over that list of difficulties? A night and a day in the deep, and tumults and beatings and stonings, and it's like with joy. Paul could say, that's the way I want to finish my ministry, with joy. I can write the book of Philippians, a book centered on joy, from a prison cell. It's kind of an interesting setting, isn't it? For when we get up in the morning, our car won't start. We're ticked off to start the day. We're thinking, oh, rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to be late for work. And then we justify that until we remember Paul was sitting in the Mamertine prison when he wrote this. Okay, Lord, forget I said that. I really don't have any excuses not to rejoice. It's true. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2, the great faith promise passage there, he says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, there it is again, really? And their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. So they were under great affliction, they were under deep poverty, and they were rejoicing. That's what God's Word says in calamity. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Who for the joy that was set before him. How can you possibly link joy and the cross together? Jesus did. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. That's kind of the duh moment, right? Like, yeah, no kidding. But grievous, nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. The indication is that it is a joyous occasion, though we don't really think of it that way. I never thought this is a joyful experience while my dad was giving me a whooping. That wasn't what I was thinking. You do know there's a difference between a whipping and a whooping. I said that distinctly, all right? There's a difference there. Most of the time I got the whoopings, which are the worst part. But afterwards, what happens? Well, it yielded the peaceable fruits of righteousness. I'm thankful today that my dad did that. I needed it. Probably more than he gave me. Don't be saying amen. That's right. Let me do that right now. But probably did. James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into all kinds of difficulties. Count it joy. Reckon it up. Okay, God. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. In difficulty, be joyful. I'm not going to tell you tonight that that's an easy task. I'm not going to tell you tonight that that is our first response. But I will tell you that if God commanded you to do it, it's possible to do. We can't do it in our own flesh. That's not possible. But God wants us to rejoice, and we can make a conscious choice to say, Lord, I don't understand this. Understand why you're choosing for this course of action. But I am going to choose to rejoice. I can be strapped to the stocks in a jail cell and I can sing and praise God. What was the result of Paul and Silas doing that in a Philippian jail? It was a jailer there that was listening. And I'm convinced that had Paul and Silas never gone to jail with intense beatings and then could rejoice in that anyway, I'm convinced we wouldn't have a Philippian jailer tonight saved. But it was through that difficulty that that Philippian jailer had to be sitting in his office. Now again, I'm not trying to add to Scripture, but he had to be sitting there thinking, what is up with these guys? Don't they know what we just did to them? We beat them. They're strapped in. They're probably going to die tomorrow. That was a possibility. And they're singing. And not only are they singing, but they seem to be glad they're there. When they had opportunity to escape, what'd they do? They stayed. I got to find out something from these guys. Do yourself no harm, Paul says. And the Philippian jailer comes in and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I got to have what you have. I don't care what that costs me. Whatever you've got, I won't. You know, we were talking at lunch today. It's a sad thing when the people of the world consider Christians to be rude. When waitresses, and by the way, this is commonly reported, waitresses hate Sunday afternoons because they're treated rudely and they get low tips. Shame on us. My daughter worked at the Wilds as a waitress. And people would bring their youth groups to the Wilds. And the girls who were waiting on tables prayed that they would not get the adult tables for the week because they were the rudest people on the campsite. And we wonder why our young people aren't attracted to what we have. They don't want no part of that. Joyful. joyful. Now, I'm not hoping I'll go outside and have a flat tire. I'm not hoping my vehicle will break down on the way home. Some of you are going to be missing pizza if it does. I don't hope that I have some major disease happen to me in the next week. I'm not hoping for those things. But I'm telling you that we can choose to be joyful in those situations. It's a choice that we make. And it really boils down to, do I believe my God knows what He's doing or does He not? And if He does, then it is the best thing for me. Though I can't see it, that's the best thing for me. God, this is exactly Your perfect plan for my life. And I can rejoice in that. Though I probably wouldn't choose it. Just like I wouldn't have chosen the whipping. But it was good for me. I needed it. So what is God going to ask you to go through? I don't know this week. But whatever it is, you can choose to rejoice. Whether it's celebration, whether it's difficulty, doesn't matter. The answer is still the same. Rejoice. Rejoice. We have some other questions here that we'll ask about joy next Sunday night, Lord willing. We'll come back to that. Father, thank You for Your word. Lord, I must admit, this is far easier to preach than it is to live. But Lord, I'm also convinced that if we lived a life of joy, we would be attracting people to what we have. Lord, would You help us tonight to be joyful people? Father, thank You for these hands. And may we tonight choose to rejoice in You. Lord, we have so much just in You, regardless of all the other things. May we do so. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.